If you're looking for a job, you've come to the right place, because this is The Beacon. Say that with all good intentions, too, that this is the place to come to find out about getting a job. Good morning.
I didn't think you had bad intentions when you said that.
You didn't think so?
I did not.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
You got your message across loud and clear.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
How's everything in the Kleeman household?
Pretty good, I think.
With all the two little ones running around.
Yeah.
And have, you know, I forgot to ask you, did you do anything special for Thanksgiving? New Year's Eve?
No.
You know what? We never did.
No.
Mm-hmm. We don't do that. That's amateur night.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Us old pros, we don't need that amateur.
Did I ever tell you about the times I used to always take the shifts when I worked in commercial broadcasting full-time, and I worked for NBC? I used to take the shifts that either got off at midnight or started at, like, 4 in the morning.
For New Year's?
For New Year's Eve. Yeah, no, for New Year's Day, rather. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason I did it, at midnight, everybody's celebrating, so they're not on the road.
Right.
And at 4 o'clock in the morning, the ones that are on the road, you know, you can pretty much dodge around. One time I was coming around the Addison Curve on the Kennedy Expressway.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a car in the two middle lanes that was still spinning because it just flipped over.
Jeez.
And that was not a time when we had cell phones, you know, and all the
rest
of this stuff to notify anybody. But,
I know.
You know, that was you talk about a scary situation.
Yeah.
That was it. I was never so glad to get downtown.
I know. You know. Well, yeah, driving 4 a.m. on the Kennedy on New Year's Day is probably not the best time to be
driving
out
at 4 a.m. on a Kennedy any day is not a good thing.
No.
You know,
no.
So, I mean, that's something to watch. Hey, we got a good show today. What's going on?
Well, we're going to be talking to Sheila Perkins, which is why you were talking about
employment.
If you're looking for a job. Yeah, she's our employment expert here at the Lighthouse, and she has some helpful do's and don'ts when looking for that next job.
Absolutely.
She's always got great valuable tips, so it's good to have her back on the show.
And then
we've got Miss Sandy Murillo is back with us today. She'll be featuring some of the things in her blog that is also on the Lighthouse's newsletter, The Beam.
I'm going to have to teach her how to go, did she ever think?
Yes, please teach her that.
Andy Rooney.
Honey,
you never watch 60 Minutes, do you?
No, I do not. No.
You're such a well-informed young lady.
I really am. I mean, it's part of the curse of having two young children.
I know.
I DVR. The only TV I watch are the shows that I DVR, and I do not DVR 60 Minutes. So
there was a wonderful little guy who comes along with the young lady who helps my mom out down in Florida. And his name is Anthony, and he is the sweetest, nicest little boy.
Aww.
He has a remote addiction, though.
Oh.
He's got to hold a remote in his hand when he's watching TV. So when he came over and had the initial conversation, you know, about how this young lady can help my mom, she brought Anthony with. Not with the Imperials, just Anthony.
Oh, okay.
And that's before your time, too, so don't worry about it.
Got it.
Anyway, but as those of you out there in the audience who are my generation, you know who little Anthony and the Imperials are. But anyway, Anthony was sitting, and his mom couldn't believe how he was sitting next to me on the couch, and we were watching this children's channel, and he was just fascinated by it.
Happy as can be.
Happy as can be. And she says he never sits next to anybody like that. So, you know, it was kind of cool.
Nice.
You know, I got this relationship with little guys.
You are very good with kids.
I love children.
You really are.
You're really good
with kids.
You know, then they grow up.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's beside the point. What else are we doing?
Oh, and then we've got me.
Yes.
I will be back with some more. Actually, we're doing Superfood Secrets this week.
Who?
Superfood. Superfood.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
This is actually a fun one because it has examples from from people who actually have lived to be like 113 and what they think their secrets to longevity have been.
Smoking.
So, yeah. No, I don't think anyone's doing that. No, I don't think so.
Didn't you ever hear about those people that are like in the nursing homes that are 110 years old and they have a bottle of rye whiskey and a pack of cigarettes a day, you know?
Everybody's got their little secrets, don't they? I'm not going to advocate that on this show, though.
I understand. That's for sure. And then, of course, Tom Segment.
That's right.
Tom's Corner.
We'll be wrapping up.
I guess we should get going.
Let's do it.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
You can be Lainey Kleeman.
Well,
today.
It was on the script here, so I figured I'd say it.
Why not?
I'm Bill Jarrett.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around. Sheila's up next.
Chevy Checker. A new twist in the law makes it easier than ever to save on your Medicare prescription drug plan costs. So what are you waiting for? Go to socialsecurity.gov and apply for extra help. It's easier than learning the twist.
Welcome into our Beacon program for this Saturday morning, and one of my all-time favorite people is here.
Hello, hello. How are you?
And you know who that voice is if you are a listener of this show. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
You're looking good.
Well, thank you. I feel great.
Yeah, at least you can sit up, take nourishment, make a fist.
I can.
And that's all that counts.
That's all that counts, and get people jobs.
That's exactly right. So it's not unemployment services that we can share with the class.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, you know, I figured today we should talk about training.
Okay.
Training,
potty?
And more training. No, we're past potty training,
okay.
Bill. I would hope so.
Yeah.
But I needed to emphasize for people the fact that training is extremely important, and it is something that we are going to enhance in employment services next year in 2016, because what is happening is we're finding now that because so many employers are dealing with the internet when you apply for jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Gone are the days where you could build a partnership or a relationship with an employer.
Right.
Gone are the days where you could go in and say, I have a person who, and they try them out for a few days. Gone are the days where they even talk to you now when you walk into any place of employment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything is done on the internet. Every single solitary thing.
Absolutely. So, I always said I would be a big failure today because I relied on human contact.
That's right.
Personal communications.
That's how I got all of my jobs.
Yep.
You know, you go in and you talk to the manager and you tell them your skills and what you can do and what you would like to do. And you either got the job or you didn't.
Right.
And that's how it worked.
And usually what I did was I tried to find out whoever was in charge of that particular department that I wanted to work in.
Yes.
And I would try to meet them away.
Oh, okay, right.
From the corporate world?
Exactly.
Because that way you could sit down and have a free conversation, and you don't have to worry about protocol and company policy and that sort of thing, because you leave it up to that person to determine whether or not you are the right person for the job.
You're the right fit. Yeah. That's exactly right.
There are so many times over my career that I've talked to these people, and I didn't fill out applications till after I had the job.
That's exactly right. While you were filling out your paperwork for your taxes and all of that.
Right.
That's when you filled out the application.
Absolutely. But
those days are over.
Those
days are over.
So
what is happening now is we have to concentrate on training our clients and our customers in a different way.
Sure.
We have to make sure that we're able to teach them how to navigate through the interview process, get to the interview process once they have applied online. So that's why I'm saying today is training, and more training.
Yeah.
So it's really three basic concepts that we use in our training. One is job readiness.
Okay.
The other one is on-the-job training, and then customer service training.
But how applicable to what we're doing today is on-the-job training? Because you got to first get the job.
Yeah, you do. But let me talk about job readiness first.
Okay.
And then you'll see where on-the-job training
fits in.
How it fits in.
Yeah.
In job readiness, one of the things that we have to do is people will come to us, Bill, and say, I want a job. I'm ready for a job. Give me a job. I think people really think that we have a drawer where we just pull it out and there's a job there and we just take it and give it to them.
Right.
And it doesn't work that way. So what happens is we have to begin to develop a case history on people, start with their resume, make sure their resume is in the order it needs to be in. And we've talked about all the resumes, do's and don'ts, the interviewing techniques. We have to make sure that we do mock interviews with people so that they know how to handle themselves in an interview.
Sure.
The problem is not so much what they say, Bill. It is the fact that people sometimes rehearse so much for an interview that if the employer, the prospective employer, asks them a question that is that pertains to something they said, they don't know how to answer it because it's not part of what they rehearsed.
Exactly. It's not on their mental screen or script. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you have to be ready and able to think on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to add that component into what we're doing.
But what happened, Sheila? What happened to the ability to be able to do that? Who's falling short on that? Is the education system falling short on that?
No. I think what's happening is, again, it's no more of the face-to-face.
Right.
Everything's on the online now. So you can put everything on paper, but you still have to have an interview.
Right, right.
Now, in that face-to-face, you and I walked in ready for the interview.
Right.
Because we would say, hello, my name is, and I'm looking for, blah, 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 and this is what I can do. You had it.
That, right.
You were doing your interview
right.
when you approached the employer, a prospective employer,
sure.
about a job.
Sure, yeah, exactly. Right.
Right. Now, because of the internet, you're doing everything online. You're doing everything with notes in front of you.
Right.
So that you can make sure that you add all the information that needs to be added so they understand the skills that you have that make you a good candidate for the job.
Sure.
But
sure.
when you have that face-to-face interview, you can't rely on that application.
Right.
You got to be able to talk for yourself.
Right.
Well, you can if they ask you all the questions that you rehearsed.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, then you're a genius.
That's right.
Yeah. That's
but,
yeah.
but like if I say to you, Bill, tell me about yourself, and you start talking, and you say something very interesting that I think would really be a fit
right.
for what I'm looking for, I may question you on that and say, oh, well, wait, let's stop there. Tell me how you got to that point, or tell me how you handled that.
Right.
Well, if you're not ready, people panic sometimes.
Did they break down into a whole sweat?
That's
it.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
It, because
yeah.
they don't expect that to happen.
Right.
People have to understand that the face-to-face part is not like the internet. You know, it is actual people that you're talking to who are listening to you
right.
and want to hear what you have to say.
That interpersonal communication.
That's exactly right.
Because, today it's so easy. I find myself, I had to go out and get a smartphone.
Okay.
So that I could text.
Okay.
My family, that
yes.
I could text people that I work with, because
right.
they don't answer the phone.
No.
They don't even answer the phone.
I know. And then you know what else happens, too. You have all these telemarketers calling and all these other people trying to sell you things.
Right.
That people don't want to answer their phones anymore. So the texting has now become popular.
Right.
But the problem is that we're forgetting how to spell because we use mm-hmm. the texting language.
Right.
We're forgetting how to communicate because of the phones. I go to restaurants, my husband and I, if we go out to dinner or go out to breakfast or something like that, and we sit in the restaurants and watch people on their phones sitting across from each other.
Right. Yeah. Now, does that make sense?
Come on. That's right.
Come on, jeez.
So communication is lost.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
But we got to get it back because employers are still looking for it
mm-hmm.
before they hire you.
Do you think we're going to see a 180 degree thing?
In terms of?
Of interviewing and that interpersonal communications, that sort of thing? Or are we stuck in this technical world that we've come to build?
I think this technical world is probably going to advance even more.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think it is. But I think that we have to make sure that we have both abilities.
Mm-hmm.
The lost art of communication as well as the technical skills.
There's a guy on television over here. His name was Irv Kupcinet. You probably read Kupcinet.
I remember. Uh-huh.
And Irv used to do this show, and he used to call it the lively art of conversation.
There you go.
And that's true.
That's true.
And that's what it was.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So which brings me to the next point, which
yep.
is computer assessment. That's another thing that we've had to enhance
mm-hmm.
because people will tell us that they know how to use the computer. So we'll say, okay, turn it on. Oh, well, this isn't like the one I have at home. It's still a computer. It's a computer. Turn it on.
That's right.
Log in. Here's your password. Here's the login information. And you should be able to do all of that. You should be able to cut, copy, and paste.
Right.
You should be able to navigate different screens.
Right.
You should be able to minimize and maximize the screen. You should be able to find the different applications. And you should be able to know the difference between an email address and an internet address.
See, you've lost me already.
Yes.
I'm so screwed when it comes to that stuff. I'm so glad I'm at this part of my career.
There you go, Bill.
You know?
There you go.
But it is important, and that's all the younger generation
That's
knows.
Exactly right.
That's
now, here's another one. Dressing appropriately.
Yep.
Okay.
We've gone through that before, yeah.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And people feel that when they come in to work with us in the program, that they can wear whatever they want.
Right.
Because we're just helping them get a job. We're not the real deal.
Right.
I got news for you. If you don't start with us, it's never going to happen.
Exactly. Did I ever tell you about the one guy that I knew who wanted a job desperately at one of the stations I was working at?
Mm-hmm.
And he was a nice enough guy, and he had lost both of his parents young. And he comes in for an interview.
Uh-huh.
I was working at the time. He came in for an interview. First of all, his sport coat didn't fit.
Oh.
He had one of those collars on the shirt that was up, even though he had a tie on, and the knot of the tie was kind of a weird knot, you know, that sort of thing. And he had orange fingertips from Cheetos.
Oh, my goodness.
And I looked at him, and I said to him, I won't say his name or anything.
Uh-huh.
I says, do you know, you are a disaster waiting to happen.
Uh-huh.
I says, how do you expect to get a job like that? I said,
he didn't see anything wrong with it?
He didn't have a clue.
That's too bad.
He didn't have a clue. So he went upstairs, he took the interview, came back downstairs. I says, how'd it go? He says, well, I don't know. It was kind of shorter than what I thought it was going to be. And in my mind, I thought,
That's exactly why.
Because you had nothing to interest the interviewer in HR.
That's right. And that's what's happening. It's going back to your point before. The technical is still here, but you've got to remember that communication. And that communication includes your dress.
Right.
And your professional attire and how you handle yourself. All of that is included.
Yep. Yeah.
In what you do.
Yeah, it's a whole package.
It's a whole package. It is.
It's not just this part and this part. You can't piecemeal it.
That's not cafeteria. And part of that package is making sure you have a professional email address.
Right.
Not, you know, sexy tush.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't work.
No, it's like my son, too, and I'm so glad he finally did it.
Mm-hmm.
One of my boys finally did it. He used to have a goofy... we call him on the cell phone, and he would have something goofy on there. Well, his older brother finally told him, "Just do your name."
That's right.
Just do your name on the identification if you can't take the call.
That's right.
He said, and don't use a goofy website. He said, use your name as the website.
That's right.
And what's wrong with that?
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with it.
And employers do not want to hear the latest Michael Jackson recording when they call on your phone.
Isn't that the truth?
No. Just make it, let it ring, do a regular ring,
right.
and go straight to voicemail if you can't get it.
Right.
But do not put music on there.
No.
I've heard music. I've heard children singing. I mean, little children
right.
singing. I've heard dogs barking to the tune of Jingle Bells, everything.
I've heard the symphony orchestra playing that one piece
Do-don't.
I'm thinking to myself. Why?
Yeah, no.
You're not a concert, basic message. Whatever,
yeah.
You know. So
you can be creative after you get the job.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So all of that leads to our job club sessions.
Oh, we're back to job club.
Back to job club.
Yes.
And so we make sure that everything that we teach you in the job readiness piece is also things that you learn and will take you through
sure.
job club.
Sure.
Like working while receiving Social Security.
Right.
Developing employment goals, knowing how to sell yourself, you know, your resume,
mm-hmm.
Knowing about the Americans with Disabilities Act and when to disclose to an employer that you have a disability.
Sure.
So, there are a lot of things that we talk about in Job Club that relate to what we do with you in the job readiness
process. Right.
So once we get through that, I mean, we hope that we have you, really thinking and in a job search frame of mind.
Sure.
Now, mock interviews that we do with you work good for people because most people, when they do mock interviews, they do them with the person they know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't.
Right.
We do them with strangers. We do them with people inside the lighthouse that you don't know.
Sure.
So that you can really get an idea of what it's like. We also have, sometimes we have employers come in and volunteer and do the mock interviews.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we do that.
Oh, that's cool.
That's one of the things, you know, Bill, I had to find something that volunteers could do that really felt like they were doing something meaningful in employment. And I thought, mock interviews. Everybody needs mock interviews. Everybody.
Everybody does.
And we've really gotten some good feedback. We've had some great employers come in, and we've had some good feedback in terms of what people need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are good, those that are mediocre, those that need work.
Sure. And, you know, that it's just so important because there, I heard this a while ago. The more interviews you go on, the better you become as the participant
exactly.
in an interview.
Exactly.
Because you leave, and if you got any kind of brain into you,
exactly.
you'll walk out and say, you know, I shouldn't have done that.
Exactly.
Or, you know, I did that, I like that, I'm going to keep that in next time I go for an interview.
I'm going to keep that in.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And then, you know, we also want to clean up any barriers that we find.
Sure.
And those barriers are like when you say, oh, well, you know, sometimes I can't get to work on time. Sometimes.
Oh, it's... Please, you know what my philosophy is?
Mm-hmm.
Leave an hour earlier.
There you go. And here's something else too. Here's a new one. These cell phones on the job. Leave it in your locker, leave it in your purse, leave it alone.
Don't bring it in the interview with you.
Leave it. And for goodness sakes, don't have it go ringing in the interview.
Cuz you know a lot of times they have these funny ringtones now.
Yeah.
And it's all you need is for something like that to come out in the middle of an interview.
And you don't want that.
How about the, you know, now that we're talking about this, how about things like Facebook? What's the other one I think of?
There's LinkedIn, which is the professional
LinkedIn
one.
LinkedIn is a professional. And there's
Twitter,
Facebook.
Twitter.
That's the one I was trying to think of, too.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be so careful.
You do. You have to be careful what you say.
So yep. careful.
Exactly. You have to be careful what you say because
yeah.
You don't know who's connected to who, who's linked to who,
right.
and who's going to read what.
Was there a ruling passed, though, that employers can't use information on a personal Facebook or something? Wasn't there something passed a while ago, earlier?
I think there was.
Mid-year in 2015?
But my opinion, yes, there was. But my opinion on that, Bill, is that if they know about it, it won't come out of their head.
Let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
It's like the thing is, if you tell a child, don't do that,
uh-huh.
he's going to want to do it more.
That's right. And if they know about it,
yeah.
it's not coming out of their head.
No,
it's just like hiring people with disabilities, and you've been through this.
Yep.
And you know there's a law. That
oh,
does.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's Americans with Disabilities Act. You have to hire people. But if I can choose who I want to hire, then, you know, so be it. People will find a way to get around it.
You know, and then there's, I just had an incident where I was talking to a couple of ladies on the train
uh-huh.
During the week, and they were talking about, accommodations. Because
yes.
they have multiple screen operations and they need
yes.
magic and it wasn't working because of Windows 10 and all the rest of this stuff. I says, you know, by right, I says, you have to be your own advocate here.
Right.
I says, you have to go in. You have to tell them what you need.
Right.
I said, and really, theoretically, they can't deny you.
Right.
I said, we all know, you know, what that means.
Right.
I says, the idea is in quotation, air quotations, theoretically.
Right.
So I said, but you have to insist on it, you know, and you have to work with IT if that's the case or whatever the, if they ever work. No, but, but you have to work with somebody to get what you need to make your ability to,
that's exactly
to function
right.
in your position.
That's
so,
exactly right.
Yeah.
That is correct.
And you know what I hate?
Hmm.
One thing I despise. It's a good thing for people with disabilities, but I despise the fact that they go in and get these degrees, and I mean sometimes an advanced degree in some pretty heavy subjects.
Yes.
And then they go out and they're folding napkins in
yeah.
a restaurant.
Yeah.
Because the companies don't want to give them the opportunity
exactly.
to show what they do.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, both are at fault here.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, our customers who have those degrees
right.
lose faith in themselves and
right.
think that that's all they're supposed to do.
Right.
So
that's why when you send me people for internships,
mm-hmm.
I'm very careful who I take
mm-hmm.
because my whole goal and the thing I believe the most in is that I want to see young people succeed.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And if it means, you know, me being a little selective on who I bring in or who I take,
right.
that's okay.
Right.
But I want that person to know that they can be a success in what they've got
that's
their degree
it.
in and actually use the degree that they have.
And that's why we offer all this training.
Yeah.
because we want people to be successful.
How would they get a hold of you to do this, though?
I'm sorry, say that again.
How would they get a hold of you to find out more about what kind of training?
They can call me here at the Chicago Lighthouse. 312 is the area code, 666-1331, extension 3647.
Okay.
Sheila Perkins.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, we also have an enhanced customer service training.
Sure.
We have on-the-job training and... After talking about this job readiness, do you see what I mean by on-the-job training? Okay.
I do.
And on-the-job training means you're going to take everything that we taught you.
Right.
And put it into learning the employer's way of doing the job.
You have to be flexible.
That's right. That's right.
You have to be flexible.
That's right. But they hired you because you have experience. We're going to help you bring that experience out. We're going to help you shape that experience so that you can talk about it freely and comfortably with an employer. Once you get the job, then you got to learn the employer's way of doing it.
And if you have an outgoing personality, which is good for customer service and that sort of thing, if you have an outgoing personality, that's maybe the thing that they liked about you the most.
Right.
So don't hide it under a bushel.
That's exactly
Bring
right.
Bring it out, and like you said, through this training, you'll hopefully will help them be able to bring it out.
Absolutely.
So. Well, that's great.
Absolutely. So that's what we're doing.
All right.
Training, and more training.
It's like real estate. Location.
That's it.
That's basically the same thing. Sheila, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bill. It's great to see you.
You too.
All right.
Our program's The Beacon. We'll be back with more after this.
1.4 million people in Illinois who really want to work can't. Financially, it doesn't make sense for them. You see, if they were employed, they'd lose Medicaid health coverage, and private insurance is almost impossible to get. This is the reality for people with disabilities. Meet Anna. She's single with severe diabetes. Anna couldn't work because no employer would provide health insurance, and she had to keep her income low enough for Medicaid. But now there is a solution for Anna, a state program called Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities. Anna can enroll in HBWD and get full health care benefits, even working part-time. If this sounds like someone you know, call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com to learn more about health insurance for working individuals with disabilities. Move beyond your disability and take control. Call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com today.
Welcome back.
I'm so confused.
Are you? Yes,
I think
are.
It's always getting up early in the morning that does it to
It's
me,
not
you know?
Sleeping at night. It's not getting a full at least 7 hours. Hours.
Tell that to my dog.
I know.
He's got to get. He always gets up 2:30 in the morning.
Lincoln.
He's got to go out.
Do you guys in Florida? You don't have a dog door that he can go in and out of?
No, not where we're at right now.
Okay,
but we will.
Good.
Soon.
Hopefully that will help.
No,
you'll wait. You wake up early anyway.
I wake up early anyway.
Yeah.
So I take him and Boopy out.
Boopy, is that Stacy's dog?
That's the little Boopy. She's
funny.
She is an interesting subject for another program. I'll tell you.
Another day.
Oh, baby, I'm telling you. So, Sandra Murillo is up next, right?
Yes, she is.
She's
going to be talking about things from her blog that are actually also featured on the Lighthouse's newsletter.
I am so proud of this young lady.
Yes, you love her.
I just think she is the greatest thing to happen to the world since sliced bread.
That's
and tubeless
nice.
Tiger.
What a nice compliment for
she
her.
She is so smart,
yeah,
and so dedicated.
Oh, and she's on top of her game. You know, she gets it done.
And you know what? She can multitask. You know, they say the human being, we think women are better at it than men at multitasking.
Right.
But they say that we can multitask. We can't. Our brain still focuses on one thing.
Really?
But Sandy can multitask.
Good for her.
So let's, without further ado, listen to what's going on in her view.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, this is Sandy from Sandy's View. Today I'm speaking with Joseph Paul Cohen, who's a PhD student at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. Paul will be talking with us about a new app that could potentially revolutionize how blind people see the world around them. Right, Paul? Right, Joseph? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Great, great. Well, Joseph, thanks for joining us this morning. You're working on an app. It's called Blind Tool, and it's only available for Android right now. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's only available for Android because the code is actually running native on the phone. So it's hard to kind of make a cross-platform app that does things that this app like this app does. So it's really like because Android is based on Linux and this runs on Linux, that it kind of all matches together and works. So.
Mm-hmm. How did you come up with this idea to work on this app?
So the original idea of like the motivation for this was years ago when I was working with a blind programmer, and then we became friends. And I learned about all the challenges that are faced by blind people. And so like one good example where technology was already kind of victorious and done was my friend wanted to do math, but it was really hard. And I was like, well, you can use the LaTeX typesetting system to do math. So all the mathematicians use this like special language called LaTeX to type math. And then, so it's just like a regular text file. So you can the screen reader will actually read the characters that build up the mathematical equations. Mm-hmm. So some really complicated math formula is just one string of characters, right? Mm-hmm. So this enabled him to read and write math, that's being done in the current, research realm of all this stuff. This is how everyone encodes their math equations, right? Mm-hmm. So, seeing how that just like completely solved this problem, I started thinking about like, what if there was a cane that gave you, told you what how far you were from things.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened to already exist.
Sure.
So I don't remember the reason why my friend didn't use that. Mm-hmm. I started thinking, it could even be better. It could tell you the things that are in front of you, right? So the end goal there, and it's still not here today, is if the cane would say there is a the train, the train door is going to be like 4 feet to your left, and it's going to open in 3 seconds, and it would tell you all these details, right? Like there's a piece of gum on the floor over there, right? Like all these subtle details would be like the real goal that we don't have yet.
Mm-hmm.
A while ago that was back then, and then I started thinking about it again, maybe like a year or two ago. And then I looked and I was like, oh, I got to do something. Maybe I can get an idea to actually do this now that I've had some research in all this area. And then I found that there was Be My Eyes,
mm-hmm.
Which it kind of solved that problem. And I was like, okay, somebody else has done this amazing thing that solved this problem. So I kind of stopped thinking about it, because someone else was, taking on this.
Sure. Already took your idea, huh?
Hmm?
Because someone had already taken your idea, huh?
I wouldn't say taking my idea. I mean, they had their idea.
Yeah, definitely.
So it just solved this problem. So, and then recently, I was working with this new type of technology. That I was looking at frameworks and different code that the researchers have written to actually build this concept, which is the core of this, called a convolutional neural network, right? So this has been, it's pretty old technology, but it's the cutting edge research right now. It's actually, it's when you hear like computers can beat people at identifying objects and stuff, like this is the technology that's behind that. And I saw that this could fit in a phone, mm-hmm. and I've had a lot of experience with Android development. So I kind of just, was able to make this thing all at once. There was stuff that was able to fit on an Android, and then I was able to know how Android works enough to shove it together with a vibration and a continuous camera cycle, and kind of all the other challenges that are involved with phone apps, and kind of put that technology to make a kind of tool that I could imagine would be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So. So once I realized all these things had come together, I got really excited, and I just kind of binged programmed this app I call them 7-hour projects.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'll do something for 7 hours, and if it works, I keep going with it, or if it doesn't, then I just kind of put it on the shelf and say, oh, maybe next year it'll work. With new knowledge, I'll attempt that again. But it did work. So, kind of 1.5 days of work, I got the first working prototype. And then I released it. So that was it was really just cutting edge research into the phone, into an app, as fast as possible. So this is kind of like bleeding edge research into the public's hands, running on thousands of different Android phones.
Yeah, so, tell us a little bit about the app. How will it help blind and visually impaired individuals?
So the goal is that if I close my eyes and look around, I wish there was something that would just, that would tell me what I'm looking at. And normally I can just like feel it and you'll know exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could have, there is tons of light coming off all these things, you can capture it with the phone, and then it will, verbally speak, what, is identified, what kind of objects are around you.
Mm-hmm.
So the places where it works best are in kitchens or, kind of clean environments without a lot of noise, like if it's a table with an object on it. So if you kind of, you're sitting at a table and you wave this phone around, if you wave your phone around, it'll kind of speak, it'll say glass, coffee, mm-hmm. Banana, like it'll tell you the things that are on there.
Sure.
And then you can kind of aim it at other things, and it might be wrong with what it's saying, because it's not that intelligent. Mm-hmm. If it says it looks like a Petri dish, then, you could be looking at anything that you could kind of imagine would represent the traits of a Petri dish, right? So large, like a pizza could look like a Petri dish because it's got a circle, it's got a bunch of stuff in it. A pool could look like a Petri dish. All these things kind of can be identified as that similar kind of, they have the same features, right, visually.
Mm-hmm.
Just even if it's not accurate, putting it on anything kind of gives a sense of what is there, which I think is like an added perception. Just having any kind of added perception, I think you can rewire it so you say, oh, well, if it's saying that, so then what it's really looking at is this thing that it always calls that, right? Mm-hmm. So you can kind of remap what it's saying to what you know it is. So it's like, I kind of see it as an extra sense of sight,
mm-hmm.
right?
Almost like a virtual pair of eyes, if you will.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. So it's kind of like you have a toddler that you're bringing around with you, mm-hmm. and it's like banana, and you're like, that's not a banana. But, it's close. It looks like a banana. So,
right.
I think that the funnest analogy is like you're carrying around a baby and they're just shouting out stuff mm-hmm. that they think they see in around you.
And then maybe even give you another perspective of what it thinks, something looks like,
It's kind of like an experience to use it and have it say things, like to identify an object as looking like something, and then you think about it for a second, you're like, Well, yeah, that is right, mm-hmm.
Great, yeah, and here at, here on this show, coming up in a few minutes, we do have our segment with Tom's Corner, who's our colleague that reviews, different assistive technology products. So we definitely look forward to, him possibly reviewing this app in the near future. And good luck to you, and thanks for being on the show with us this morning.
All right, thanks, Andy.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about, but a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance. If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. The fastest and most convenient way to apply is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
Back on the Beacon, and it's time for what now? What did you say? What kind of foods?
Superfoods.
Superfoods.
Yes.
Look, up in the sky.
Superfood. It's superfood.
That's right. All right. So here we go. Before we go any further, we're going to, Lainey will allow us to turn up the beat as we head into her segment of superfoods.
This is another multi-show topic, so we'll do some of these today and some of these next week. But this is a fun one because it interviews people who have lived a very long life and asks them what they think the secret to their longevity has been. So the first one I've got here is a Nancy Fisher, who is 107 years old, attributed her long life to her passion for garlic. And studies have actually shown that phytochemicals in garlic can halt the formation of carcinogenic chemicals in the body, so basically cancer-causing chemicals, and that women who eat more garlic have lower risk of certain colon cancers.
Really?
So there you go. All right, next is olive oil. Very simple. And there's some controversy about olive oil, not because it's not, you know, doesn't have good fats in it for you, but, you know, there is a school of thought that we should not consume oil, as, you know, as little oil as possible. You know, I kind of fluctuate between consuming olive oil as being okay, and other days I feel like I don't want to, you know, have oil. But basically, it's the monounsaturated good fats is well known for its heart health and longevity benefits. And studies also show that olive oil may also be linked to brain health and cancer prevention. And this is actually, this is health.com, and this is recommending 2 tablespoons a day, which to me seems like a lot of oil, but...
2 tablespoons?
2 tablespoons a day.
Wow.
Yeah, but this is maybe that's how you get the preventative benefits of it. Could be, yeah. Probably not good for weight loss if you're looking to, you know,
I don't know about that, though. With garlic oil? I'm not good.
Maybe.
With olive oil, maybe.
I mean, it's not bad for... It's not... it's a whole food, you know.
Right.
It's a whole natural food, so it's not... loaded
no
with chemicals. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Next.
Next is bok choy, which is actually, again, it's part of the family that the word has slipped my mind. The cruciferous. Thank you.
Cruciferous
vegetables like
I
this
didn't
one.
Say anything.
You did.
Yeah,
I know.
No.
I was thinking myself. They contain nutrients such as fiber, vitamin C, and folate, and that can increase your longevity as well. And a study from Vanderbilt University have actually found that breast cancer survivors in Shanghai who ate more of the cruciferous family of vegetables had lower risks of death or cancer recurrence during the study period.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So get your bok choy on. You can get that at any grocery store. Back to the avocado, our favorite
thing.
Absolutely. Heart disease is the largest killer in the United States, mm-hmm. according to the latest report from the National Center of Health Statistics. But if you eat more foods that keep your heart healthy, like avocados, it helps lower your bad cholesterol and raises your good cholesterol. And it can also help your body absorb heart-healthy vitamins like beta-carotene and lycopene.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Okay. Which are, by the way, very good for your eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Again, we're going back to beans. We talked about beans a few weeks ago, I think. In a 2004 study conducted on elderly people in Australia, Japan, Sweden, and Greece, researchers found that participants had a 7-8% reduction in death for every 20 grams of legumes they consumed daily.
Well, say that again?
I can't even do the math in my head, but clearly people who ate legumes had less of a death rate.
Yeah.
Lived longer. So a diet rich in beans and legumes increases the level of fatty acid butyrate, which can protect against cancer growth, and that's a study from Michigan State University.
What if it helps people who have been diagnosed with and then treated for and are now cancer-free? I wonder if it helps them more. You know?
I don't know. I would think that... You know, if you are one of the fortunate ones who do get cancer, survive it, that these lifestyle changes would be very beneficial for you.
It sounds like
absolutely.
And then
the last one I'm going to discuss today is getting more fiber, especially by grains and seeds, especially by switching from refined bread and pasta to whole grains. This is a pretty common theme in my segment. You know, the whole grain thing is a big deal. It can reduce your risk of death from any cause, by 22%, according to a 2011 study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine.
Really?
22%. Experts say that the fiber protects against diabetes, heart disease, some cancers, and obesity, and it can reduce cholesterol, blood sugar, and blood pressure.
Would sunflower seeds fall under that?
I think sunflower seeds, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
probably.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, again, as long as they're not salted and, you know, you're getting all the other...
But
sunflower seeds, go at them.
Wow, fabulous. And all of this information will be at our...
Facebook page at Chicago Beacon or on Twitter at Chicago Beacon.
Thank you, Mrs. Kleeman, for
a
valuable plethora of information.
You betcha.
And we'll be back with Tom's Corner right after this.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
You know, we've been jilting these guys on introductions.
Oh, you haven't painted your Victorian.
But you know why?
Why?
Because we have so much good information
on the
show. I know.
We don't have time for a 20-minute introduction for Tom Suarez.
Except for Juan Suarez or the...
Juan does. Yeah. Right.
But anyway, they've always got some great stuff, and I don't want to step on their toes and give them enough time to be able to talk about all the things going on.
Really, they need no introduction.
They don't. So, ladies and gentlemen, Tom's Corner.
Welcome in to Tom's Corner, another edition here. And today we're going to bring some of Tom's stories to you, talking about living with low vision. And you want to talk about bike riding today.
Well, that's right, Brian. I was thinking about some things recently about bike riding and some of the experiences I've had. You know, people with low vision, as people might know, in our show I've talked about living with vision loss when I was in college is when I lost the central vision due to Stargardt's macular dystrophy, which is a juvenile form of macular degeneration. And so having normal vision up through, you know, high school and into that point, and then having to go through that adjustment period, it can be pretty overwhelming and pretty frightening. And of course, the biggest thing for many people is when they can no longer drive. And that's a huge, part of life that makes some major changes, you know, especially if you live in an area, suburban or area where there's no bus service and it's difficult to get around. It's a major thing for seniors. It was a major thing for me in my 20s. I definitely felt like I had to move into the city to be able to get around independently. And so that's been part of my life now for all these years. And so when I moved to Arizona, there was a limited bus service in the Tucson, Arizona area. And I used to enjoy bike riding. Like when I could no longer drive, I used to bike to the store I remember biking to the hardware store one day, and I was working on this project where I needed like 3 2x4s.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardware store had them, but they had the 8-foot kind, you know.
Right.
So I remember climbing on my bike, holding 3 8-foot long 2x4s, going down the street. I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope I don't have to make a quick stop or a quick turn, right?
Right.
Or the other time I was going to pick up a birthday cake for my wife, right? So I went to the bakery, and I didn't realize it was like a triple-decker cake, so it was kind of heavy and kind of tall, and I didn't want to tip it. So, you know, like a waiter does where you put your hand under there and you try.
Right.
So here I am climbing on my bicycle with a cake in one hand and my right hand on the handlebars, and I have to ride home about a half a mile.
Oh, my. You didn't drop it?
I didn't drop it, no.
Wow.
So, some of the craziest things that happen, you know, and people kind of look at you, you know, if you interact with people, you know, I don't look like I'm legally blind, you know, so people, it's always kind of a strange look that they give you, you know, like if I used to have the large print checks and I'd go to Jewel or something and they would look at my check and they would say, is this a real check? And I'd say, yeah, it really is. You know, it works good for seniors and people who are legally blind. And then I tell them I have a vision impairment. And then they say, oh, okay. And they wouldn't know what to say. And then they'd say, well, can I see your driver's license? And I'd say, well, you know, in Illinois, they don't let blind people drive. And I'd get them a kind of a zinger to kind of get them back. But my ultimate driving or bike riding story was when I lived in Arizona, I had a friend who was older than me who lost his vision. He was very depressed, and he just couldn't stand out of it. And I told him, you know, you need to get a bicycle and you need to go with me. And he said, I haven't been on a bike since I was 16. I said, I know, but you know, little by little. So we got to be friends, and we would go every Saturday, and this went on for 6 months or a year. And then we decided, the two of us, we're gonna do the ultimate bicycle trip, where we would fly to Los Angeles and we would rent bicycles and go along the ocean. There's a strand, it's called. It's 30 miles, and it's flat, and it's easy to ride. There's no traffic in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we planned our trip, and we got there. So here's my story. The first morning, we get our shorts on, our bike shorts and everything. And I had my prescription glasses that I wear when I bike ride that turn dark, you know, when they go in the sun.
Right.
So I took them out of the case. I put them on, and they were clear, of course, because I hadn't walked out into the sun yet. So unbeknownst to me, the lens had fallen out of my right eye. And when I walked out into the sun, the left eye, of course, turned nice and dark. And the right eye was missing a lens. So, but my right eye is not that good, so I didn't recognize it. So we're walking into the place, and I look at the guy in the face, and I say, we're here to rent bicycles. And he looks at me with the strangest look, like, oh, okay. And he didn't say anything. So we went through, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to fill out the application? I can't see to write. So he put the application down, and I just started writing my name and address, and I couldn't see the lines, you know.
Right.
But I faked it the best that I could. So he finally gave us the bikes. So we rode a little bit in the morning, and then we went to a little place called Hennessy's Tavern, which is in Hermosa Beach. It looks out over the ocean. And they have a rooftop deck. So my friend and I go there for lunch, and we have this kind of pretty little blonde waitress from California.
Oh, you can see her.
She comes to the table. Yeah, I could see her. And in fact, I was kind of flirting with her a little bit, except I had a lens missing out of my glasses still. And my friend, who couldn't see, couldn't tell me that there was something wrong with my glasses. So that was an unbelievable story. Well, we spent the entire day, and everybody that we stopped and talked to, no one mentioned to me that my glasses were only one eye.
Well, of course not. It's California.
That's right. In fact, my friend said, maybe tomorrow, like, everybody out in California will start a new trend.
Exactly.
Right? Which I thought was a good idea. But the final part of the story was the lens had fallen out inside the glass case in the hotel room. So I never lost the lens. It just fell out in the glass case. And we had a lot of laughs over that story for many, many years. All the things that happened to people with low vision. So,
with bike riding, it wasn't a bicycle for two, it was separate bikes.
Yeah. We were able to ride separate bikes, yeah. Because it's not like here in Chicago where, you know, there's a million people riding on the bike path. There, it's very, I wouldn't say rural, but the line, there's a big yellow line right in the middle of the bike path. And one more story. One lady was there, and she came on the beach, and she had a little basket. And this is another time when I was riding with another friend who could see, but he was riding behind me. I always like to be in front.
Right.
You know, I should have been behind. So she had brought her bird, it was like a cockatiel or a parrot or something, to the beach to take it for a walk, I guess. And she parked her car, and instead of walking across the bike path and then letting the bird out, she let the bird out on by the where the parking lot was, and the bird started to cross the bicycle path, and I didn't see the bird at all. And I missed the I missed the bird by about 2 inches. And she screamed, let out a scream. And my friend is like, oh my God, do you believe this lady?
Bloodthirsty scream, yeah.
So yeah, anything could happen when you're on a bicycle, but we pretty much were able to be intact and not fall or not, you know, go down a cliff or anything.
Right. It's nice and relaxing. And
yeah. We take our time, yeah.
All right.
So.
Well, there you have it, folks. Tom's story is entertaining, funny. But before we get out of here, update on roadshows, just to remind everybody.
We are doing a low vision product show coming up on March 8th, the first time in Northwest Indiana. And we're excited about that. We're working with the Trade Winds organization, 3198. East 33rd Place. You can call Tradewinds if you need information or directions, 219-945-0100. And again, that's March 8th. We're going to be there from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah, and then March 16th, we're going to also be doing a show, and that's going to be coming up Wednesday, March 16th, same time, 10 to 3, at the Maine Township offices, which is in their community room. It's 1700 Ballard Road in Park Ridge, Illinois. And that's a popular show for us. And I kind of go back to my old roots there, Park Ridge and Des Plaines. So we're looking forward to seeing all of you come out, see several hundred items sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Illinois. It's free. We do sell products, so you can actually buy things that you see normally have to look in the catalog to find.
Right.
And we're going to be available to sit and talk with you and show you some of the latest things that are out there to help anybody experiencing vision loss.
All right. Well, he's Tom Persky, and I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
Well, we did it again this week. I don't know what we have coming up next week, so you better tune in and listen.
It'll be a surprise.
That's right. Thanks to Dr. Janet Slick, our executive director at the Lighthouse, Sandra Murillo, associate producer, who not only contributed to the broadcast, but helps with booking a lot of the people that you hear me talk about. She keeps me sounding intelligent.
She does. She does
that's
a good
what
job
Sandra
of that.
Does. She
that's
certainly
no
does.
No small feet.
No, that's right. No, she doesn't have small feet. Oh, yes, she does. As a matter of fact, she has one.
She's a very dainty person.
My grandson has big feet, but she's got little feet.
Yeah, congratulations on your new grandbaby.
He's just wonderful. Little Wesley Joseph. He's absolutely
terrific.
That
is so
terrific.
Sweet. So wonderful.
And then, of course, Brian Hawkins doing that stuff that he does with all the knobs and the wires and everything. And
yeah,
plus
all the buttons he pushes.
Heading up Tom's Corners, you know, so.
He pushes buttons real good.
He does. Mm-hmm. He knows how to push your buttons, too.
Yes.
He always stays even-tempered, but boy, if he pushes your button.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Not me, man.
He's always even
nicest
even
man
here.
Ever.
Brian Hawkins?
Yeah.
Honest to God, they should put him on the $10 bill.
They really should.
Honestly. Well, anyway, that's going to do it for us. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
We'll see you back here next week on The Beacon on Chicago's Progressive Talk.